The following program is presented by the Nerdy Show Podcast Network, geeky programming for all nerds across the multiverse. All Nerdy Show programming is made possible by A Comic Shop, Orlando's number one comic shop and nerd destination, and with the generous support of listeners like you. To learn how you can support this and other fine geek programming, visit nerdyshow.com.
This is the very handsome Brentel Floss, tamer of chocobos and video game lyricist comedian extraordinaire. You are listening to Nerdy Show.
Welcome to Nerdy Show, a weekly podcast dedicated to every facet of nerddom, from comics and video games to science and technology. If it's geeky, we've got it covered. Hi, I'm Cap.
And this is Laval.
I'm drunk.
I'm Arceus.
I'm Brandon.
And that drunk person is Steve-O, but he's not the only one. This is a Nerdy Show microsode requested by Hugh O'Donnell, and it's about Game Boy history. But smartass that he is, Arceus said, nope, it's drunk Game Boy history.
I regret nothing.
How many Kahluas have you had?
Two and counting.
All right, great.
He means full bottles, too, like liters. I think he's had 2 liters. He's going to have a mudslide.
The liquid just goes in his mouth and comes out immediately.
Yeah.
I've just been drinking whiskey, but I'm getting there, I think.
And I'm the designated driver. John's drinking some kind of fancy boozy root beer.
It's not your father's root beer.
Hugh O'Donnell says, I think that Game Boys are really interesting. Maybe something on the handheld's history, how they work, or how they're being used as musical instruments today. Well, good thing we have Steve-O here from Friday Night Fan Fiction, also from Overclocked Remix. He knows quite a bit about video game history in general, and the rest of us have plenty of personal experience from the use of a Game Boy. So we'll be talking about personal experiences, actual Game Boy history, and just shit we know about Game Boys. And Arceus is snuggling a Game Boy Clear. What was that?
Yeah,
was that a pocket?
That's the full size.
Play it loud, bitches.
Yeah, that was.
I remember that was a really aggressive marketing campaign.
It was really aggressive.
Play it loud, bitches.
Yeah. Okay, so if I remember correctly, the original gray Game Boy, I think the year that it came out was 1989
in Japan.
Right.
April 21st.
Right. And so it was just a gray brick, four AA batteries, lasted what, like 2-3 hours?
It lasted longer than a Sega Game Gear.
15 to 30 hours, depending on...
Okay, maybe I just had really shitty batteries, but...
You must have.
You're thinking of a Sega Game Gear.
Okay, I had that too, and that was 10 minutes.
No, I'm pretty sure it was developed by Duracell to sell batteries.
It could have been.
It was a fucking conspiracy.
It was developed by the same person who created Metroid.
Well, he was a producer of Metroid.
Okay,
Gunpei Yokoi and Nintendo R&D Team 1.
Yokoi has a really extensive background. He's the guy who created Game & Watch.
Yep. He created the D-pad, Cap.
He did create the D-pad. Yeah, he also really got Nintendo started in the toy company business because he created the Ultra Hand, which is that grabby thing that you may remember from WarioWare if you're not familiar with it.
WarioWare!
Honestly, if you look back at Human Evolution, it goes like fire, the wheel, D-pad.
Yeah.
That's how far
exactly
we've come.
How that works. Yeah.
Yep.
He also created the light gun, which later helped sell the NES in America because nobody wanted to get into the home console industry after Atari fucked everything up in the 80s.
Yeah.
He also designed Rob. I did not know that.
Yeah, Rob the Nintendo robot, which was a pretty remarkable piece of technology. This guy actually was, you know, getting involved in the toy business early on in Nintendo. He tutored Miyamoto during the production of Donkey Kong and kind of co-created Mario Brothers, the arcade game. So, a pretty important dude. And also Kid Icarus, he also produced.
Oh my god.
That's not a good thing.
Something very important to know about the Game Boy is that it was the first mainstream portable system that used removable cartridges. Before that, with the Game & Watch series, you basically had all the games built into the system. You couldn't swap it out. By turning it into a cartridge-based system, mimicking the NES, the first portable system with an extensive library, completely changed the landscape of portable gaming at the cusp of the 90s. The gray one was the first one to come out, and then as Dan has... So, graciously brought before us, there was a re-release of a number of different Play It Loud colors, ranging from clear to pink to yellow to green.
Yellow, black, green, red.
Thanks, Wikipedia.
And there was white and blue, but they were only available in Europe and Japan.
Right.
Who remembers?
Wait, white and blue weren't available in America?
Nope. You had red, but no white and blue, so only commies.
So
here's a really weird, probably the weirdest Play It Loud ever, is they released a rare limited edition Manchester United Game Boy.
Oh, God.
Man, you!
And they were all
there!
And they were all destroyed in one massive bar fight.
Hey, shut up. I'm playing Super Mario Land over here. Shut
hey, guys. Guys, I got a question for one of you Game Boy nerds, because I'm not a Game Boy nerd. Which one first started doing backlit technology?
That was the Game Boy.
The Atari Lynx.
The Game Boy Lynx.
Because I heard...
The first Game Boy was the Game Boy Light in Japan.
Because I heard that smartphones only progressed as far as they did because of the backlit... That's not true. The micro backlit technology that Nintendo invented for Game Boy systems. I swear I read this in Wired magazine, man.
Well, fucking Wired is wrong. Have you seen what they do recently?
The backlit screens on the Game Boys are what made cell phones start to have pictures and images. No, maybe not backlit, but just regular screens in general.
The true magic of the Game Boy was it allowed kids to sit in the back seat while their parents were fucking fighting and able to ignore all that shit and not internalize
Game Boys and fighting.
Game Boys on a tiny screen did have pictures and images before cell phones did, and they copied that shit. No, it totally did.
Well,
I had a Game Boy before cell phones could have images.
Here's the thing. Yokoi was a massive proponent of what he called lateral thinking of withered technology. So he created the Game & Watch.
It's so fucking beautiful.
Like my mom.
He created the Game & Watch because he saw a dude in the subway just fucking around with a calculator and was like, whoa. Okay, so they're already mass producing these LCD screens. We can totally take that and do something completely different with it. They've already made it cheaper, they've already shrunk it, and that ethos that he created for that, he used throughout all of his creations. It's part of what created the NES, and it's actually something that Nintendo, at least...
Including Donkey Kong.
Yeah. Including Donkey Kong.
He worked way too fucking hard to come
up with
that.
Cell phones didn't have
screens. That, ladies and gentlemen, is the story of the first TI-83 game.
Snake.
Okay, I'm going to interject again. Cell phones didn't even have fucking screens back
then. All right, let's get off this shit.
I swear to God, they had a little screen for numbers while Game Boy...
Who told you know how to read?
Game Boys... Okay, Game Boys had fucking screens with images. Cell phones, because I'm old, did not have them when Game Boy was out at all. I remember
this.
Ground. Yes.
Nothing.
Cell phone companies saw this technology. We're like, we want that on our phones, and they did it.
Listen,
copied Nintendo.
For those of you playing at home, just go ahead and contact Brandon.
I read this shit
and tell him he's wrong.
I read it in a book of knowledge.
See, Brandon reading. He's telling us a lie.
Okay, you asked what the first backlit Game Boy was. So the Game Boy Light was released only in Japan.
And then smartphones took that technology and became smartphones.
And so,
don't lie to me.
So in America, the first backlit Game Boy you would get would be the Game Boy Advance SP. That was the first one you would get. But that's jumping ahead. In America, after the Game Boy and the Play It Loud line, you got the Game Boy Pocket, which changed it from 4 AA's to 2 AAA's and lasted just as long, if not longer.
And it was only a year later.
It had a much nicer screen.
And then there was
the black instead of green.
No.
And then there was the Game Boy Prohibition for 20 years. You had to sneak your Game Boy through a crate.
Now, the Game Boy Pocket, according to this apparently Game Boy inspired touchscreen telephone, Brandon.
Yeah, that's right.
Game Boy Pocket came out in 1996.
Said Wikipedia.
Yeah, so Play It Loud was 95, then 96, and then...
That was just a year after the Play It Loud was launched.
And then...
Yeah, 98?
They knew what was happening.
Pretty big year for Game Boy. They were actually producing versions so quickly. I remember thinking, like, I can't keep up with this. I don't need this. I don't want it.
I remember, like, Final Fantasy VII and Xenogears, they're all coming out. Why the fuck do I want a Game Boy? Done. I mean, I didn't go anywhere. I didn't need a portable system.
I put cardboard
on all the windows.
The Atari Lynx.
Dan can agree with
us.
We probably spent a lot of time in the car at school, you know, waiting for stuff to happen, and having a Game Boy made time so much.
You didn't
more
ride the
terrible.
Bus.
Yeah,
like a poor person, I rode the bus.
No. But see,
what
I was going to say,
I played the fucking.
You know, you
I was
know
masturbating.
Killed, you know what killed the Game Boy? All the rich kids had Atari Lynxes.
The Atari Lynx died out on an actual Lynx.
Somebody speaking from experience over here.
Yeah, I have one, and it still works, motherfucker.
Is it an actual Lynx?
And it's got Batman Returns. I didn't see a fucking Batman Returns Game Boy game.
Speaking of games, we glossed over one of the most important facts of the Game Boy. The widespread
letting
of
it
Tetris.
You play while you get molested. What?
Yes.
What?
Absolutely. The man who brought Tetris to America handed it directly to Nintendo, who was going to put Super Mario Land as the launch title, the pack in. He told them, if you want to sell the Game Boy to children, include Super Mario Land. If you want to sell the Game Boy to everybody, Tetris
all the way.
And I believe the person who invented Tetris was Rasputin.
And that's correct.
Yes, that is true.
He also created the machine that played
Alexander
chess.
Pajitnov?
Little did you know that Rasputin holds a world record for Tetris. He played only using his penis.
Wow!
Oh, okay!
And that's why the L block exists. Because his dick had
The Tetris curve. Thing totally worked. The selling it to everybody totally worked. Absolutely. Because in 1995... Nintendo of America announced that 46% of Game Boy players were female, which was absolutely unheard of.
Now, 1995 is actually pretty significant to pop culture, because was 1 year after Jay-Z, in the rearview mirror, he saw the motherfucking law and got pulled over in 99 Problems and Bitch Ain't One. And I think since then, people learned not to play the Game Boy while they drive.
Wasn't the first issue of Nintendo Power also have Tetris blocks on it?
Mm-hmm.
You'd think it would be Mario, but no, it was Tetris. I remember it. I had it. It was red and it had Tetris blocks.
Tetris was a very important cultural milestone for video gamers.
And especially
which is why we're getting a trilogy of films now.
Quadrilogy. Each piece gets its own story.
After the Cold War, America was finally ready to accept the Soviets back into their lives. And that's why Tetris was such a
big hit. It did make some good music.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
All right, so moving on with the hardware, the Game Boy Color, which Kat mentioned, that was one of the biggest upgrades to the Game Boy line.
It's what brought color to cell phones.
Mm-hmm.
That's not true. That's not true at all.
It's all true. I read it in your head.
Yes, and...
All right, so outside of the visual changes, there wasn't much in terms of the hardware change for processing. It still had the same basic processor for the Game Boy Color. No changes to the sound channels. Just same basic thing. The next big upgrade was the Game Boy Advance, and that was a huge jump from, I believe, an 8-bit chip to a 16-bit chip, basically putting it on par with the Super Nintendo, and that was in 2001.
Did you skip the original Snapchat Game Boy photo?
Oh, no, we're going back to that. We're going through the hardware iterations first, and then we're going to go back to the different individual pieces of the Game Boy.
And then, while you guys won't get the benefit of seeing it, we're all going to take dick pics with it.
And
send them back in time to our former selves.
Didn't David Byrne do an album cover using the Game Boy camera or something?
Well, we'll talk about that.
Okay.
Wow, not to my knowledge.
I believe he did.
I mean, I have all of his records, so what record was this?
I don't know off the top of my head, but...
Can we talk about the weirdest thing on Game Boy?
No.
It's Final Fantasy Adventure, and I don't know if anyone's played this but me.
I have.
Oh, no. You mean the Psychic Densetsu game?
It is one of my favorite games, and it's basically a Secret of Mana game with chocobos.
Yep,
and it's the best. And then they remade it, and they made it horrible when they remade it.
Archaeus is going through all 1,000 of his games one by one.
Yeah. Didn't they remake it as Sword of Mana and completely change the entire game? So what was the point?
They did, but you know what? It wasn't the same game, but I did really enjoy it.
It had Moogles. I have this too. Moogles and Chocobos. Right, Final Fantasy Adventure.
Apparently by Sunsoft.
Weird.
So here's a very important thing to note about the Game Boy Advance is that it was the first in Nintendo's very famous line of backwards compatible systems. The Super Nintendo was not backwards compatible with the original NES. The Game Boy Advance was compatible with all the Game Boy Color and original Game Boy games.
Mm-hmm. When could you start hooking your Game Boy up to the Super Nintendo?
That was the Super Game Boy.
It had the cartridge, right?
Yeah, it was 1997 or 98, I believe.
And you could colorize it.
No. Yeah, you could colorize old games that weren't in color.
Like three or four colors.
I remember playing Metroid. The first and the second Metroid game.
You could only play original Game Boy games, but it would convert it into
color. And they continued that with the amazing...
Oh, no, it had some games were compatible. It had full color, like Donkey Kong.
Yeah, but they weren't Game Boy Color games. They were Game Boy games that had a color palette built in.
Right, or it knew inherently what the palette was supposed to be.
But that was continued by the Game Boy Player for the GameCube, which is still a great piece of hardware.
It's a great piece of ass.
No.
The Game Boy Advance was extremely progressive in terms of the CPU. One of the most important things to note is the audio chip was just an original Game Boy sound chip with four DAC channels. There was almost no progress there, yet there's some incredible soundtracks on the Game Boy Advance that took full advantage of that additional hardware.
What do the DAC chips do?
DAC is digital audio, meaning that you could add in samples. Game Boy sound chip worked is it would generate noise based on square waves, triangle waves, saw waves, and a noise channel. The Game Boy Advance DACs work is you could load samples in there. Like, you know, nowadays you can record a WAV file and play it back. The DAC, it had more restrictions than that, but you could play sounds that were recorded, pumped into there. It was much more like the sampling done on the Super Nintendo.
Steve, I don't know what you just said, but it just sobered me.
I don't think you're drunk enough for this.
Yeah, I just had like an entire case of fucking whatever this thing is.
I get a massive nerd boner about anything sound check.
Can someone explain to me how chiptunes works? Because I feel like you just pull the soundboard out of a Game Boy and just put wires on it and it just goes beep, bop, boop.
But we will touch on LSDJ before this microphone.
That's a drug.
Speaking of chiptunes, you can listen to chip hop sensation Professor Shy Guy on one of our Nerdy Show Live episodes that'll be linked onto this episode.
Thanks for arbitrarily linking things, John. Right, you can also listen to a fantastic chiptune selection at nerdy.fm, our 24/7 streaming nerd music radio station.
Also, you can actually buy Rooster imprinted oven mitts, also available on Amazon, and we'll link to it below. And, you can give Nerdy Show some money by using our affiliate
link. You can buy vibrators.
Drink more. And vibrators. Well, we'll link that below.
Crystal just handed me some information here.
Saying that cell phones were, in fact...
It was Neil Young. Neil Young used Game Boy printer as an album cover.
Neil Young?
It was for a record called Silver and Gold. And before you sell him short,
wait.
Neil Young is a genius who has always fucked with tech stuff.
But does that make him the first nerdcore artist?
No.
The first nerdcore artist was probably The Who. But
Pinball Wizard.
Yeah.
Let's finish this. So the Game Boy Advance came out in 2001. First backlit system was the Game Boy Advance SP.
Rechargeable battery.
Rechargeable battery, clamshell design. Still backwards compatible with everything. Had a secondary version that had a brighter screen based on the DS. And then in 2005, the last in the Game Boy line was the Game Boy Micro, which was the first one to drop backwards compatibility entirely. It only played Game Boy Advance games.
I feel like you're too autistic to be drunk.
So who here owned a Game Boy Micro?
Oh, I
owned one for 2 months and sold it back.
Wow. Is that smaller than a Game Boy?
It was literally the size of a Snickers bar.
Holy shit.
Maybe a little bit smaller. Tiny.
So it's like a Game & Watch, but with better quality.
It was super fucking small, but it lasted forever.
It was just like the size of the game or the game?
It was
smaller?
Actually as big as a belt buckle, and they.
So it's like an iPod shuffle.
And you could wear it as one.
Holy shit.
I believe you could also swap the
Nokia brick phones.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
Inch off the Nokia brick phone and then the Game Boy Micro.
No, fucking way.
The reason I own one is because I got the Mother 3 Special Edition.
It was beautiful.
Oh, my God. You still have it?
Yeah.
Right. So.
Whip it out.
Can I put my mouth on it?
Throughout all of the Game Boy line, completely region free. Games from any region will work on any system, which was beautiful.
Yep.
So that's it for the core hardware. Peripherals, there was some really interesting stuff. Dan has the Game Boy camera and the Game Boy printer.
Okay, So do you think that we could potentially be the first to ever take a dick pic with this thing?
No.
Not even close. There's probably people who have made animations of dick pics with that thing. Because you can make animations with it. There's
slideshow
spin.
You can make like animations like you put your face like on a dancing body or something, right?
Yeah,
right.
You got four frames. You can do whatever you want. You could do the
meat. It's like fucking Snapchat.
You can do the meat spin and have that be the boss's
oh my God,
I guarantee there is actually a website out there devoted to porn only using the Game Boy like camera.
There's no fucking
printer.
Way.
I guarantee
but let's
there
fucking
is.
Found it.
And we're gonna link to it below.
Yeah, we'll just print out each frame with the printer and just make flip books.
It has to exist.
One interesting fact about the Game Boy camera software, the music done for it was by Hip Tanaka, who also composed Duck Hunt.
Nerdcore artist, yep.
Yep, and one of the songs that you hear in the Game Boy camera is taken directly from Earthbound.
Yep.
Wow.
And also Game Boy camera was where Nintendo Miis were first conceived. They weren't implemented, but that's what it was originally developed for.
Yep.
That's impossible. Dude, Microsoft said he invented the Avatar.
For cell phones.
Oh. Was there ever Game Genie for the Game Boy?
Yes, there was. Yeah, and it was really cool.
As Dan Blake removes it from his fucking magical box.
It has a little compartment in the back to hold a cheat book.
No way!
Yes, fucking way.
Can you put porn in it?
Look at that thing.
There you go. There's the
holy
fucking...
shit! It's got the book.
It's in mint condition. How can you lose the fucking book? It goes right there.
The device looks like a tricorder.
Those of you playing at home, he just opened up a hatch that was literally the size of a matchbox, and it's got all the. Can I?
Do you trust me?
Okay.
No. Oh, he broke it.
Oh my God! Look at this, guys.
Isn't that cool as shit?
Oh no! I ripped it. Oh God! Actually, this page really came out, but I
John,
didn't do it. But I
that
swear,
shit away.
I didn't do it.
Oh Dan, he's got like the murder in his eyes.
It was like that. It was like that.
Do you have a gun in your trunk?
When you got the Game Boy,
why would I need a gun?
Genie,
The glue is dry.
Maybe you should stop
a bunch
touching
of
it.
Stickers that you
put
on the back of your cartridges that had cheats on them as well, because you could only put it in here.
Why would you need cheats?
Dude, how many kids do you think hid their weed in there?
None. Exactly. No way. None.
Wait, did weed exist back then?
No, weed wasn't discovered until Snoop Dogg.
Like, 10 years ago.
It was only like Steve Jobs, when he made a cell phone, that's when he discovered weed.
Guys, I'm going to say something controversial, and you can either agree with me or disagree with me.
I disagree with you already.
But I feel that after Game Boy, it would have died if there was no Pokemon.
That's not true.
Yeah, no, it's true.
That's 100% true.
You just want to say the opposite of what I said. That's all you're doing.
Honestly, the Game Boy was on a downswing at the time that
Pokemon came out.
See, I don't lie!
Game Boy had no need to develop color because they knew they were selling a ton of systems, mm-hmm. without having longer lifespan. That's why Game Boy dominated the handheld market for so long.
Is it Pokemon?
No, because hold on, because they were doing really, really good, but just before Pokemon came out, it was starting to dip, and then Pokemon came out, and Game Boy went right back up there.
I think it would have been any other game.
If you look at each Game Boy, you can see decline in sales, and then Pokemon comes out, and it goes way the fuck up. Every Game Boy system. Maybe, so without if there was no Game Boy after the first, it would have just gone down. They wouldn't have developed a new system. It would have been dead.
They probably would have developed a new system, but would they have had a killer game to sell it with? They would have had great games, but would it have been a cultural phenomenon?
Digimon would have been the replacement.
You know what? I love Digimon more than Pokemon, so I would love that.
Okay. Controversial opinion, but eh.
Digivolve too.
Mega Kabu Cherrymon.
Since the original Game Boy had a mono speaker and you basically needed to have a fluorescent light aimed directly at the screen to see, there were a number of peripherals that came out for it, ranging from a magnifier to a speaker system.
It was a whole clip on thing, and there's some really just awful ads.
Like a joystick.
Do you remember, like, the kid, yeah, I got a magnifier. The kid's like, no, I got a magnifier and a light. Like, no, I got mine. It's got a fucking dildo on it, and it's got 3D speakers.
But the ultimate one, the one that was the speakers, magnifier, and the light, was this huge, chunky, like, it was like the equivalent of headgear
it
for a child.
Like, yeah.
It even had a joystick and a giant A and B button for some fucking reason.
It folded up like a boombox or something, and then like, and then unfolded and like flipped out, and it was
disgusting.
Awful.
Disgusting looking.
Yeah. And then at that point, you're just like, why don't I just carry out a backpack with an NES?
There was a light design. It was like a purple gooey tentacle shape that
the
came
worm
out.
Light.
Yeah, it was so gross and unsettling.
How many kids do you think that was their first foreign object insertion?
Me.
Wait,
I was
catheter
me.
Style or what?
Wait, whichever. back up. Wait, Steve-O. Did you immediately go to catheter style?
Yes.
You don't know me.
Yeah, wormlight sounding, bro.
Yeah.
Did anyone have the really cool
snake
light?
Got that light on Game Boy Advance? Tell how deep it's going.
No.
There was one for Game Boy Advance.
Game Boy Advance was even harder to see than the original Game Boy
because
of color.
But
it's all dark and shit.
It was a white snake, not the band, but it was a white snake, and it just shined the light on.
We can perform the all Game Boy accessory colonoscopy. Right?
No, we're not doing the camera.
The
wormlight. Dan, bend over. How many
people? We've got a magnification screen. We have a magnifying glass.
Oh my god,
magnification!
There's no way nobody's ever done this before.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure there's no way it's been done.
Yes. You ready, Cap? Want to do it?
I feel like we've covered the technical basis for Game Boy.
We haven't colored LSDJ.
We didn't talk about the Game Boy Game Boy.
Let's talk about the music.
Oh. Alright, so again, the sound chips between the NES and the Game Boy are similar, but not exactly the same. The Game Boy had a slightly larger frequency range.
Really?
It sounded a little different. The noise channel was easier to work
with. Did NES have more sound channels or?
No.
No,
but can it hit the brown note?
Brown note.
I mean, you can listen. Take the Mega Man soundtracks. Listen to it once on NES and once on the Game Boy.
And you'll hear
some of them sound better on the NES. Some of them sound better on the Game Boy.
And some are completely different songs altogether.
Exactly. And due to the nature of that sound chip, there is a program that you can get on cartridge or emulator called LSDJ, which is a sequencer that you can use to fully control sound chip on a Game Boy.
Is that how chiptunes was invented?
Yes.
Chip hop.
That is how chiptunes was birthed, okay?
Yay. So they hacked it.
Yeah, they hacked it.
And once again, you can listen to chiptunes on nerdy.fm 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
You'll see there's a lot of...
Except for when it's not chiptunes.
Oh,
except
shit.
For, except for when it's nerdcore or nerd rock or comedy.
All right, so there's a number of chiptunes artists out there who will use LSDG on a multiple number of Game Boys to play music live. It's a very fascinating scene.
Dragons.
No, they used an NES.
God damn it.
Danimal Cannon.
Yeah,
Danimal Cannon?
Danimal Cannon for sure.
That's what I said, asshole.
Atamataguchi also used
The Neskimos?
NES.
Oh, do they? Do Automonica cheese?
You're interrupting the class.
Let me ask you, why do people use chiptunes instead of just like a laptop where they can simulate the same exact sound?
It's a different ethos
It's not a different ethos.
It's a completely different ethos.
I don't read. Explain ethos.
Here's a fundamental difference between using a laptop and using a system.
Okay, go.
Using a laptop, you can manipulate the sound. You don't have to generate it. You can already take something and have it. With a Game Boy or an NES, you are live creating that sound using a sound generator on the chip.
If you took a reading of it, it would be identical if it came from the fucking Game Boy or if it came from the.
It wouldn't. You can't make the same sounds.
No! There's no way you can make the same sounds.
That. You can't. That's not the way it works.
We're gonna fight. We're gonna throw down. All right, let's do this.
He's actually taking off his shirt. All
right, look up the difference.
John wins.
There is a difference between sound synthesis and sound sampling.
Listen, man, I fucking fought a 7-year-old. I'll fight you. Cold cocked him.
Did you win or lose?
Oh, dude, I lost.
Since we've covered a large majority of the hardware, the peripherals, and some standout titles, let's go around and see, like, Game Boy memories. What's a standout memory or two from your experience with the Game Boy?
Let's not go too dark, though, okay, guys?
All right, well, I got my clear Game Boy back in the third grade, I believe.
And he's actually showing it. It's here.
Yeah.
It's real.
It still works to this day.
He'd show us, but it takes D batteries.
Yes, not!
See, I was one of those kids who could never convince their parents to upgrade from the NES to the Super Nintendo because they were just like, well, they're just going to make a new one in 2 years, so why bother?
Or seven or some shit.
Yeah, because it's unlike the VCR that they had for 20 fucking years.
But that's what people were used to back then, right?
Like, yeah, any that's also why the sequels to the Atari never took off. And they were like, well, I still have my Atari, was it 2800?
Right.
Why do I need this 5200 or 7200?
People didn't have early adopter syndrome like they do today.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Up until high school, basically, I just had my Game Boy and my handheld games to play. Or my old NES whenever I could get that thing to work.
I had the old chunky Game Boy, and then I didn't buy a new one again until, like, DS, because everyone was playing Pokemon, and I didn't give a fuck, because I liked Dragon Quest Monsters way better when it came out.
Digimon.
But I remember that the two main games I played were Final Fantasy Adventure, which I mentioned earlier, and then there's this weird game that was kind of like Arkanoid or Brick Breaker, but it was like Mario, and he would jump into a little
alleyway.
Yeah, Ali. Okay, I think that's it.
Yeah, I have it.
And I would play that. What don't you have? I would play that in the back
most
of this.
Most STDs, I hope.
Wow.
And he's showing us right now that he doesn't have any STDs. He's clean.
I would play it on the back of the school bus until the batteries died. And then, like everyone else in the back of the school bus, when your batteries die, you masturbate onto the back seat. And because you wipe it on the back seat. Because nobody's sitting in the back but you because you're a weirdo. And you have to get up at 4 a.m. You have to get up at 4 a.m. to ride the fucking bus to get to school at 8. And then when you get home, you're the last stop off. So you get out of fucking school at 3 and you don't get home till 7 p.m. So what are you going to do but masturbate in the back fucking seat of a bus?
Do you fucking think nobody sat with you because you masturbated?
There was no one else on the bus for 3 hours. It was just me.
Do you need to see Dr. Brewster again?
That's my story. And you know what? I wish that was a lie, but I don't actually wish it was a lie because it wasn't.
I didn't ever get a Game Boy Chunky.
But did you get a Game Boy Chubby?
I did get Pocket because when Pokemon came out, I wasn't sure. I was like, am I too old for this? But then, no, because Pokemon was pretty fucking addictive. So, yeah, I went full on.
Did you play Pokemon?
To that. Yeah, Pokemon and Silver. Gold and Silver is still the best, I think. But you know no one's mentioned yet, which I think is really fascinating, for those who have not witnessed it, is at the Nintendo World Store in New York City, there is a Game Boy that was a victim of a bombing in the Gulf War.
It looks like
a hot mess. But the screen is
literally a hot mess. I mean, like parts of it are melted.
Molten plastic.
So a soldier had that,
and it still runs.
Did it still operate? Did the soldier make it?
He lived. He donated it.
Cool. Yeah.
It's still running games right now.
It still will run, yeah.
Road trip.
Let's go right now, everybody.
Yep. Right, Nintendo World Store, New York.
And that's John's story right now. It's him driving to Nintendo World.
John's playing the one-man desert bus right now.
Oh, God, no.
Confession time.
You've never played Game Boy.
No, I definitely played Game Boy. When I was a kid, I was pretty lucky. Like, my parents got me, and I forget what game it is, but that's not important. And then somebody else got me the game, so I'm like, great, I have one that I can keep home, and I have one I can bring to school, right? Not the Game Boy, but the game.
Yeah.
And then I get there and, you know, kids used to swap games around and stuff.
Yeah.
And I realized.
Yeah, gross.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, it was fucking nasty. Yeah. And then
you put my game in your slot.
Keep it wrapped up. Keep it wrapped up.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So then, like, I brought the Game Boy home and I realized I still had this other kid's game. And he had my game. I'm like, well, I have two copies.
Right? Oh, you kept it.
So
you dirty slut.
So I was like, well, fuck, right? So I come back. So I go back and the kid's really pissed off because he thinks this other kid stole. It was Spider-Man, actually. Stole his Spider-Man game.
It wasn't even a good game.
And I was like, Spider-Man. Yeah, and I don't know where my other fucking game is because whatever. And so I think, you know, so stole mine too, right? So now it's like a big thing. But then there was like a kid they thought stole their game because he happened to have Spider-Man also.
Did they murder him?
So they were like, no, he stole my game. And the teachers or whatever, the school made them give the other kid like his Spider-Man game. Because they thought it was his stolen game. So now two kids ended up with stolen Spider-Man.
You didn't say anything.
I didn't know what to do because I was scared.
You're going to hell,
young.
John.
So,
John Laval, you are the salt of the earth. Yeah,
so if you're listening, Brendan, I'm sorry. hopefully you're not a Nerdy Show listener.
He's got a rifle at home. And he's got some lipstick on, and he's ready for you.
And now he knows who to aim for.
This is going
to
end up like the end of Billy Madison, isn't it?
Yeah, but there's no way nobody else has that story, right? We've all accidentally stolen Game Boy
Somebody
games.
Somebody stole my fucking album and the Chipmunks record in kindergarten.
Okay, well, let's not make this personal. It's too bad. We already got
You're making
fist
it
fight.
Personal right now!
Once I stole someone's virginity... But they also stole mine.
I stole their virginity, but they stole my innocence.
Oh, okay, so Game Boy memory of mine. I'm not good at games.
Some kids
stole
my
never
Spider-Man
been good
game.
At games.
You do great at cooking and rhythm games. I've seen you.
There's boobs there, okay? I got my NES. Yes. That was my first system, Super Mario Brothers. I still haven't beaten the game.
It is really hard, though.
Second game I ever got was Teenage Ninja Turtles by Ultra.
Yeah.
The next purchase my parents got was promptly a Game Genie, so that I no longer threw things at the TV. So from then on, like up until the PlayStation 2, the first thing I got for any system was a cheating device. And one of the first things I got for the Game Boy was a Game Genie. And I kept that around, played Mega Man, Dr. Wily's Revenge, and a couple of other, games. And then my brother and I both got Pokemon. I got Pokemon Blue, he got Pokemon Red, and he really, really, really wanted to get all the Pokemon. And, I have no idea what's going on with his game. So he just says, he tells me which Pokemon he wants. I try to go out and find them, but I finally give up. I use a fucking Game Genie, and the look on his face when I sent him his first Mew was just, the starry-eyed... There isn't even a number for this in the Pokedex kind of face. Just, that stands out in my mind as a wonderful Game Boy memory.
I hated Game Genie so much.
Even though the Mew was a lie.
Was Missing Number in the original one? Is that where it came
That's
from?
That's where it came
from.
That's
where it came from. I hated
Game Genie because people would be fighting in the hallways. Well, not fighting, with Pokemon. And then someone would have a 99 Mew and they clearly cheated.
Yeah.
It's how is this fun anymore? Everyone's cheating.
So what I just noticed is Dan Blake's been dicking around with his... All of his accessories.
Are you fucking kidding
hold on.
Me?
No, hold on. But no accessories
That's
fit.
The human centipede of Game Boy.
But what's weird is, the other way around, nothing will fucking fit into the Game Boy Genie if it's an
because
accessory.
Because it fits the other way around.
Yeah. Oh, bitch! Yeah.
Well, what did you just... N-word. Describe what you just have done here.
I took my original Game Boy that I had attached to the Game Shark, that I put the Game Genie into
no!
the Game
Shark. It's the Large Hadron Collider!
If you add an action replay to that, you will cause the end of the universe.
He's gonna find the God Particle.
Okay, and Metroid 2.
You could probably hack the Gibson with that.
That's the only way you can fucking beat Metroid 2.
Wow.
Oh
well,
my.
Did I beat Metroid 2?
Have you actually beaten it like this? I'm surprised you haven't duct taped that together.
I've never even tried this.
No wonder
before.
Your arms are so
I'm
massive. You've been lifting that.
What will happen when I fucking turn this on?
You're toying with powers you cannot possibly
comprehend. It's like a weightlifting machine at this point.
And then you put that shit into the fucking Superboy.
Oh god, yeah.
It'll
we'll
just say
that up to a Super Game Boy.
It'll say you have access to eternity. Choose your destiny.
If I remember correctly,
and that is how you win at life.
And don't quote me on this. You might have to ask him. But the Game Boy was the first system that had Jake Bertkoffman do a soundtrack for it. I believe Dry Mouth was the first game. At least the first one I've heard of. That
is this called Dry Mouth?
Dry Mouth.
That's a game?
That's a game.
About what?
I don't know.
About dry
synopsis.
Mouth.
I just know the music.
Quick synopsis. Just give it to me.
I don't know. I haven't played
what
it.
What gives you dry mouth? Mouthwash.
Chlamydia.
Oh, yeah. Can you hum a few bars?
No.
What? But you said you know it.
No, 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 no. It goes like this.
Insert the music here, okay?
No, it goes like this. It goes...
Do I have to fucking find it right now?
That's all I got. And that's how it goes. That's every fucking Game Boy soundtrack. Don't fuck with me.
That is a lie.
Guys, I was running out of breath there.
Game Boy's kind of like Tim Burton movies. It's all the same fucking music, just remixed with like one note different.
What?
Whoa.
Edgy.
All right.
Tetris has like...
Hashtag too just edgy. Put a target on his own head.
Thank you so much, Hugh O'Donnell, for requesting this episode. Hopefully it satisfied you in ways you didn't anticipate.
Oh, really satisfied. I hope it made you moist.
Now, Nerdy Show Microsodes, that is the product of fine folks funding the Nerdy Show Network. If you like this programming or anything that's not as irregular as this...
Or if you want to stop us from ever doing this again.
Or if
Okay, I'm sorry if this was a mess. I was told to drink. This is not
that
my
is the,
fault.
That's
Cap
the,
is
I
opening
was
a shirt right now for donations.
Yeah.
Put it right in.
Go to nerdyshow.com/support. You can give us a one-time donation. You can head to Patreon and get all kinds of cool perks. And also help us towards our goal of improving the Nerdy Show Network. Or you can casually shop on Amazon, but do so through our Nerdy Show links. And if you do, it will fund the Nerdy Show Network. You can even bookmark that link so you can do it anytime you would normally be going to Amazon. Also, if you want to do something that doesn't involve money, you can hop onto iTunes and give us a rating, especially if you do it specifically for Nerdy Show, not just the Nerdy Show Network, but Nerdy Show the show. That's even better. And also, if you have time... throw a review down. It can even just be A++ would buy again. Fast shipping.
eBay.
Sorry, I was a little drunk. I thought you said something about not having a bunny and hopping on.
You know, nobody's refreshing. It's refreshing that for once we won't get in trouble for showing up, you know, drunk to something. So that's pretty good.
That's true. Yeah. Thanks so much for listening. Bye, I'm Cap.
I'm Laval.
I'm Steve-O.
Arceus.
I'm Brandon.
This is Friday Night Fan Fiction.
No, it's not. You liar. Not.
Dirty, rotten liar.
You are... we're going to get in a third fist fight this evening.
So do I have to dress like a 7-year-old, or...?
Yeah, except this time, we shouldn't end in necking. We should actually hit each other.
Oh, I like the necking.
And off.
Hi, this song is called Danimal Across America. It has cool guitar solos in it. We'll be right back.
Thanks for listening to Nerdy Show. If you like what you heard, please rate and review us on iTunes or like and follow us on SoundCloud. As listener-supported entertainment, we rely on you to keep this and other shows on the Nerdy Show Network alive by telling a friend or funding the network via Patreon. Any contribution gets you exclusive outtakes, episodes, and images from across the network, and there's even more perks available. Just head to patreon.com/nerdyshow. To find out how you or your company can underwrite this or other Nerdy Show programming, visit nerdyshow.com/sponsorships. You can also subscribe to us via iTunes and SoundCloud. Leave a comment, like and share, and follow Nerdy Show on all of your favorite social networks. For more podcasts, articles, community forums, and other awesomeness, visit nerdyshow.com. If it's geeky, we've got it covered.